And he goes on to say Japan or Germany or Great Britain or France. Why is it these industrialized societies have a far lower set of casualties as a result of gunplay? Why is it that it goes way, way down, the comparisons with Great Britain and Germany and Japan? Well, ladies and gentlemen, there is no comparison. You see, they've taken the authority away from the parents in this country and out of the schools. If you go to Japan, Germany, or Great Britain, or France, you will see that the children receive the proper discipline in the home and in the school. And in Japan, discipline, folks, is more than a way of life. It is almost a religion. Now, I doubt if Mr. Owen knows that because he's probably never been out of the country except to go to Washington, D.C. and then back to New York. But I've lived in Japan. I've been to France, I've been to Germany, and I've been to Great Britain. They also have a long, long history of tradition.
Oh, yes. Well, here's Charlie Reese. Once again, I love Charlie Reese. I guess you don't know that, do you? Somebody sends me these. Regular as clockwork. They send me these. This is from May the 4th, 1999. May the 4th, 1999. Another Charlie Reese commentary from the Orlando, Florida Sentinel. If ethnic cleansing is wrong in Balkans, it's wrong in Mideast. Well, good news for Palestinians. President Clinton and other NATO heads of state have said repeatedly and explicitly that ethnic cleansing shall not stand and that refugees have a right to return to their homes. Are you listening, Palestinians? This, in fact, is their justification for war against Yugoslavia. Well, bless my pita bread. There's no group of people in the world who are more clearly victims of ethnic cleansing than the Palestinian refugees who have been rotting in refugee camps for 50 years. Palestinians were ethnically cleansed in 1948 and again in 1967. They were forced out and have been forbidden to return specifically because they are Palestinians. Because we are all sure that Clinton and the other heads of state who lead the North Atlantic Treaty Organization are men of honor and wouldn't think of lying, oh no, we can be sure then that as soon as this Balkan business is completed, that Israel will be presented with an ultimatum just like the one presented to Slobodan Milosevic. Israel will be told to withdraw its forces from the West Bank, Gaza, and East Jerusalem, to consent to occupation of those areas by an international military force, and shall allow all Palestinian refugees to return to their homes and to live there safely, or else the bombs will fall on Tel Aviv. I know that some of you are cynical. Some of you think that the Israeli lobby protects Israel not only from the United States, but from enforcement of the more than 60 United Nations resolutions directed against Israeli abuses of Palestinians and neighboring countries. Some of you probably think that Clinton and company are lying about ethnic cleansing just because they've done nothing about Tibet's occupation and 1 million killed, or the 2 million dead in the Sudanese civil war, are the 1 million dead in the Angola civil war, are the 65,000 dead in the Algerian civil conflict, are the 40,000 dead in the Nagorno-Karabakh civil conflict, are the 750,000 killed in Rwanda, and so on and so on and so forth. Shame on you for being a cynic. Don't you know that American voters decided character doesn't matter? But if it did, you could count on Clinton to tell the truth about everything except his sex life, financial arrangements with the Chinese, and what he really thinks about Al Gore. So when he says ethnic cleansing won't stand and refugees must go home, the residents of Israel had better vacuum out their bomb shelters and get ready for the West to strike a blow for justice. I say that because it's hard to imagine any Israeli prime minister not doing the same thing Milosevic did and reject the dictate. Naturally, once the bombing starts, whoever is prime minister will be demonized. because I suppose it would be awkward to accuse a Jewish prime minister of being another Hitler. He may be compared to Stalin or Pol Pot or Mao Zedong or Slobodan Milosevic. It has been said that NATO is really in search of a mission. Before Milosevic, it was an army with neither enemy nor mission. Well, if the new mission is to stamp out ethnic cleansing and undo it, it will have enough wars to keep the arms manufacturers in billion-dollar clover for the next century. There are about 15 million ethnically cleansed refugees in the world. Minimum. I don't know where the use of the words ethnic cleansing originated. People used to be called just refugees or displaced persons. Sometimes the words population exchange or population transfers were used. But now, ethnic cleansing is the favorite phrase. Well, so be it. If ethnic cleansing is wrong in the Balkans, it's wrong in the Middle East. And it's high time the U.S. Congress and the executive branch apply the same concern for ethnically cleansed Palestinians as they profess to have for the Albanians. After all, Palestinians were practically first in line. Bravo, Charlie Reese. Bravo. Bravo, Charlie Reese. A group of international lawyers from many different countries have filed charges with the International War Crimes Tribunal, charging the heads of the NATO nations, General Clark, President Clinton, and a whole bunch of other people, Madeleine Albright, with war crimes. And boy, you should see the list of war crimes that they are charging them with. And of course, these are lawyers from many different countries who are pressing these charges, bringing them forward. I don't think that the International War Crimes Tribunal is going to be able to ignore it. To all my friends at the Hour of the Time, it is interesting to hear the treason tapes again. Note that I don't say that I enjoy hearing them, except for the shows laying out the foundations and meanings of freedom and liberty. I can't really say that I've enjoyed any episodes of the Hour of the Time. I have to listen because there's so much to learn, but I don't have to enjoy what I'm hearing. I still have the tapes I made from the original broadcast of this series, since I always taped the old 10 p.m. local time WWCR broadcasts so I could listen to them during daylight hours, but I haven't listened to them in quite a while. This series bothered me like no other. Other series usually painted a bleak picture of the future, but one which can be averted if enough people wake up and fight against it. This one paints a totally black picture, not of the future, but of the past. It makes me wonder how we've managed to maintain any semblance of freedom at all, given the vast forces arrayed against freedom and the consistent betrayal of that freedom by those entrusted to maintain it. The treason topic is so central to what the Hour of the Time is all about that I think you're wise to use it to bring all the new listeners up to speed, even though you've always said that you didn't want to take time away from those who are supposedly already up to speed. Knowing all that I've learned from past programs, I sympathize with those who haven't heard them and wouldn't deny that knowledge to anybody. I'm writing today because I've been procrastinating too much lately. I was scraping up money for another contribution to the television project. Then I heard that you'd gone over the top on it, so I held off. Following that, I heard Bill read my letter on the air saying that I got everything from my last order, evaluating the Panasonic RF-B11 and ordering three more. No doubt about it, it's an indescribable honor to be considered a friend of your efforts. But if I had known the letter was going to be read, I would have tried to do a better job in writing it. Hearing the letter made me want to wait before ordering anything more, so I could again say that I got everything from my last order. But that hasn't happened, and I now understand that you had a very good response to your sale and could be totally swamped with other orders, so I should remain patient regarding mine. Yes, folks, you should all remain very patient. We are totally, overwhelmingly swamped. It is just absolutely wonderful. and I'll, you know, comment a little more on that later. With my luck, the radios will show up the day after I post this letter just to make me feel silly for even wondering about them. What I'd like to order with this letter is a new copy of the treason documents and one of the handheld scanners you started offering a month or so ago. Enclosed is a money order, not because I think shipping is so expensive, but because even though the television project is funded, I know there's some good that the money can be put to. Also, I feel bad for whining about the radios, which are still going to be used to encourage new listeners. A new copy of the treason documents? Yep. I'm inspired by the replaying of the treason tapes, and in light of comments made recently about people taking unfair advantage of the work you are doing, I decided that if I'm going to share the information contained within them, I better make sure I do things as properly as possible. Also, based on recent comments, I heard that people have been signing up for Dr. Joel Wallach's products and then never ordering any. Just in case it looks like I fit into that category, I want to let you know that I ordered products from American Longevity on the 30th of March and accepted delivery in April. If you didn't receive a commission for that sale, please let me know. It would probably indicate some sort of mistake on my part that I would like to rectify before it costs you too much in lost earnings. And finishing out my string of comments based on recent programs, like one of your callers, I ordered a copy of the Panama Deception videotape after hearing the audio track broadcast on the Hour of the Time. I've seen it a number of times since first learning of its existence on your show. It's readily available from our local library, but since the people I know weren't heeding my advice to pick it up and watch it, I needed a copy that I could actually put into their hands and give them more than 3 days in which to watch it. The caller wanted to know why the cardboard cover of the video had words that were marked out. In my experience, they all come with redacted text. At the risk of looking foolish, I would say that it illustrates the producer's theme that you can never get the complete and unedited truth from the media. Thanks for handling my orders, past, present, and future. Yours in liberty, Jeff. Actually, this is a P.S. Actually, thanks for all the effort and information day in and day out. No one works as hard or gives us as much as you do. Well, thank you, Jeff. I appreciate that very much. Oh, boy. Okay. Well, we can now report, ladies and gentlemen, that NATO, President Clinton, Madeleine Albright, Jamie, what's his name, have all been lying to us. Big time. We now have confirmation from an impeccable source. According to the International Strategic Studies Association's Defense and Foreign Affairs, it is clear from the amount and quality of intelligence received by this journal from a variety of highly reputable sources that NATO forces have already suffered significant losses of men, women, and material. Defense and Foreign Affairs is reporting that as of April 20th, some 38 NATO combat aircraft have been lost, including 3 United States F-117A fighter bombers, 2 to anti-aircraft fire, and 1 from a Yugoslav MiG-29 air-to-air missile. They also say 6 helicopters, plus the 2 Apaches that have been lost since then, over a half dozen unmanned aerial vehicles for reconnaissance, and a number of United States cruise missiles have also been downed. Several other NATO aircraft were reported down after that date, including at least one of which there was Serbian television coverage, said Defense and Foreign Affairs. At least one United States Air Force F-15 Eagle fighter has been lost, with the pilot, reportedly an African-American major, alive and in custody as a POW. At least one German pilot, some sources say 2 men, implying perhaps a Luftwaffe crew from a Tornado, has been captured. There's also a report that at least one United States female pilot has been killed. In one instance, in the first week of the fighting, an aircraft was downed near Podgorica. A NATO helicopter then picked up the downed pilot, but the helicopter itself was then shot down, according to a number of reports. Defense and Foreign Affairs also says that losses of United States and NATO ground forces have been extensive, and gave details about the loss of a 20-man United States British commando team that had been ambushed by Serb soldiers. Defense and Foreign Affairs, by the way, is a respected foreign policy and intelligence journal distributed to foreign and domestic officials and lawmakers in the United States and 170 other countries worldwide. And you don't achieve that kind of growth being wrong. To further illustrate NATO and the United States' hypocrisy, retiring German General Klaus Neumann admitted to the London Times last week during his exit interview that indeed at least some of the United States and NATO aircraft that had been reported as having crashed due to engine failure, a favorite military cover term, were instead shot down by Serb missiles and gunners. How about that? Disgusting, isn't it? Isn't it disgusting? It's beyond disgusting to me, folks. I can't believe it. I just can't see how this happens. You know, when I was a young man, I was taught not to lie. I was actually taught that lying was bad. And of course, everybody tells a lie sometime in their life. Some people, many more than others. And of course, there's always the little white lie that we all must tell once in a while, even though we may not like to do it. But the chronic, never-ending stream of lies that come out of Washington, D.C. is absolutely beyond my comprehension and understanding. I don't understand it. I really don't.
I did not have sex with that woman. You must be mistaken. I don't even own any cigars. I never accepted a nickel from the Chinese. Those puppies may look like me, but you better talk to my lawyer. I did not tell a lie. I feel your pain. Reno, round up the usual suspects and start with all the patriots in this country. And stop shaking, damn it. My God, ever since Waco, you've just been shaking like a leaf. What's the matter with you?
Phones open. 520-333-4578. That's 520-333-4578. While we're waiting for our first call, might as well tell you that this sale was so good, and there's so many people who have been waiting to purchase these things, that we're going to keep the prices right where they are forever. I sat down, and if this is the price that people need to have in order to purchase tapes of the Hour of the Time, purchase our materials, purchase the treason documents so that they can educate other people, then this is what we're going to do. We're not making much money on each sale. But when there's large numbers of sales like this, it pays the bills. And that's all that we have ever asked, is to be able to pay the bills. And so we're going to leave these prices like they are forever. Forever. These are the prices. Now, if we look at one specific or two specific items and we see that we're really losing money instead of paying the bills, then we may raise the price on, you know, one or two or maybe three items slightly to make adjustments for that. But I don't see that happening right now. That doesn't mean it couldn't happen at some time in the future. So if you missed the sale, it's no longer a sale. It's the price. Good evening. You're on the air. Was initiated by some law professors at the University of Toronto.
Oh, okay.
But it is a suit being brought. See, they initiated the idea for it, but they were joined by lawyers and professional legal people, judges from all over the world.
Do you know who Mary Robinson is?
Name sounds familiar, but it's not clicking.
I believe she was an Irish premier or something like that, but she's with the UN now. And I heard on shortwave about a week and a half.
Oh, yes, I do know who she is. She's in charge of the
UNHCR, I believe.
Human rights for the United Nations. And
yes,
she has charged Clinton and the United Nations and NATO with serious violations of human rights.
And she's leaving the door open for future prosecution.
In fact, she didn't say violations of human rights. She said war crimes against humanity.
Yeah, you know, I heard that about a week and a half ago. I was rather surprised that it didn't get on the American media. Ha, ha, ha. I heard it out of Canada on shortwave. I don't know. I didn't hear her exact words. I heard a second person.
No, she actually said it.
So I assume that actually happened.
Yes, it did. It actually did happen. Yeah. And I just needed a little, you know, rearrange my brain cells, and then I knew exactly what you were talking about. It's significant. It is significant.
I thought it was at the time.
Well, it's still significant.
Well, of course, but you know what I mean.
Even if nothing happens because of it, just the fact that she said it is a significant event.
Yes, it is. And happy birthday, or belated birthday.
Thank you very much.
Have a good evening.
Thank you for calling. 520-333-4578 is the number. We're taking your calls for a little while. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill. How you doing?
I need you to talk a lot louder.
How you doing? Can you hear me?
That's a little better, but you're still really low.
Okay. I'll try to speak up for you. I'm going to be short. Today, as usual, Bill, I usually talk to people, and I'm getting to the point where I'm just almost like you, a little fed up. In my arguments with people, we talk about opinion. And I just wanted to state that in my estimation, opinion, there is no opinion. There's only fact or fiction. And I wanted to make that point to some of the listeners in case they're out there making arguments and trying to teach people the same as I am.
Well, in order to win an argument, you have to have facts with you. You've got to be able to prove your argument. The problem is that most people enter into these arguments with no facts with them, no documentation with them that you can pull out of a stack and put in their face and say, well, if you don't believe it, read this.
Right. I agree.
That's why we make all this stuff available for you. The treason documents. If you take the treason documents and sit down with somebody and start making your point document by document and go through all 600 and some odd documents that are in that package, you've got a convert. You've either got a convert or a mental patient.
Right. I've been running into quite a few mental patients. But we've got the mystery school tapes, and we get Veritas, and looks like we'll have to get the treason documents, too.
I recommend it highly.
Okay, well, it's always great to listen to you.
Thank you.
And hang in there.
I'm hanging.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Bye. 520-333-4578. I've been hanging for years. Hanging by my fingernails. Sometimes by toenails on the edge of this cliff. Someday they're going to come along and stomp my fingers till I have to let go. But I'll fight all the way down. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. This is Nick from New York.
Hi, Nick. You need to talk a lot louder. Folks, don't make me say this every call, folks. All of you listening out there, when you call, put your phone in front of your mouth and talk real loud, please. Thank you. Okay, Nick, go ahead.
Happy belated birthday. Welcome to the 56 Club.
Thank you.
Also, I wondered if you had ever read the or heard about the books, The Illuminati 666 and The Antichrist 666.
By who?
It's a compilation. It's put out by Teach Services.
No, I haven't read them. I don't think that I would be too much interested in reading them simply because of the title.
Well,
they're not pushing fact. They're pushing a religious agenda, which I abhor. I abhor it when somebody tries to push a religious agenda rather than deal with facts.
In what sense, sir?
Pardon?
In what sense, sir?
Well, read the titles again.
No, well, when I said what they did was they spoke about the papacy, the Protestants.
Yeah, but they're linking it to a religious agenda, aren't they?
Well, they are Christians.
I can tell by the titles. They're not only Christian, the books are pushing a religious agenda. Thank you for finally admitting that. You were fighting me on that.
I was just wondering, because, like I said, the thing was I got a lot of information out of them, though. You know, that was the thing. There is a lot of information in those two books, which, you know.
Well, there may be, but only if you research what they say and determine whether it's true or whether they made it up to push their religious agenda.
Well, a lot, you know, a number of what the things that they said have been things that, you know, in certain areas, etc.
Yeah, but did you go and check to see if I was telling you the truth?
Yes, I did. And also,
okay, good.
Like I say, from you, I've learned that I only read books where the footnotes are, where I can find the source.
Uh huh.
So these books do contain these footnotes, which are very good. You know?
Well, they don't necessarily have to be footnotes, as long as somewhere in the book they give you a bibliography and a list of sources where they found the material.
Right. Well, that's the only thing I read nowadays. You know,
yeah.
This way, you know, I can definitely check things out, you know?
Yeah.
Also, I wanted to ask you a quick question, because I've listened to you over the years. I get Veritas, but sometimes I don't get the radio all the time, and, you know, I can't get into the old always. And then when you were off the air for a while, a couple of things, I don't know if you've ever addressed it, the John Birch Society, what is your thoughts about them?
What are my thoughts about the John Birch Society? They offer some excellent educational materials. But the leadership of the John Birch Society are the biggest bunch of wimp cowards I have ever run up against. Anybody who becomes active in patriot causes, anybody who becomes a member of the militia, anybody who attempts to do anything other than write their congressman is ostracized and kicked out of the John Birch Society. John Birch Society is a bunch of cowards and wimps
who go and sit around and talk about all this stuff, but they never do a damn thing. Never. They do have excellent educational materials offered that you can purchase, but and some of them are excellent. Some of them are, you know, there's truth mixed with fiction, and some of them you better stay away from, but you won't know that until you go check it. But that's the truth about the John Birch Society. They do not want anybody to become active in any manner other than writing their congressman, and we all know what happens when you do that.
I need you to
talk louder again.
Also, one other, Ramsey Clark, what is your opinion of him?
I think Ramsey Clark is a good man who is really concerned about the future. I think he's concerned about this country. I think he's extreme left wing, however, and I believe that he would welcome a socialist world government. But that doesn't mean that he's a bad man. He does a lot of good things. You've heard me quote him on this broadcast. You see, I'll quote the enemy when they're right.
Right.
I quote Mao Zedong because he's right. He says all power emanates from the barrel of a gun. And if you don't have a gun, you have no power. He's right. Somebody called me a communist because I quoted him saying that one time. I'm not a communist. I'm a realist. I understand what the truth is.
Down in Fort Dix, New Jersey, I remember you had said that a lot of our closed air bases and old army bases have been renovated.
Yes.
It's funny because they're accepting 4,000 Kosovar refugees, and they didn't have to do any work to get ready for them. They were already ready.
It was already ready. It's one of the concentration camps.
Right, right. And this is what, you know, I've told people this, and they said, nah, and now this is the point that was proven, you know. It does come out in the long run.
You know what happened to Guantanamo? Remember they were going to take them all to Guantanamo?
Right.
They're not doing it, are they?
No.
You know why?
No, I don't.
Because on this broadcast, I revealed to the world that the camp in Guantanamo is nothing but a concentration camp. So they would cease to be refugees and would become prisoners.
Right. Well, yeah, that's right. Because I have seen, you know, they took the, the Haitians over there.
Yeah. And the people who escaped from Cuba, they put them over there for a long time. It's a concentration camp.
I agree.
I shamed them. I embarrassed them. You'd be amazed who listens to this broadcast.
Right.
You would be absolutely amazed who listens to this. The White House listens to this broadcast. The State Department listens to this broadcast. The FBI listens to this broadcast. The Pentagon listens to this broadcast. If you look at who visits our website every day, half of the hits every day are from government computers.
Okay. Well, maybe they're a little bit more aware of what's going on in America on the good side.
Well, they may be aware of it, but so far they're not showing any signs of doing anything about it.
I don't know, because remember your book, a lot of stuff was supposed to happen by the year 2000.
Yeah, but we got to let you go now. We got to let somebody else in here.
Okay.
Appreciate your call. Thank you. 520-333-4578. Yeah, folks, you would be absolutely amazed who listens to this broadcast. Good evening. You're on the air.
It's the Jews, baby.
Jeepers creepers. It's that little poopy-diapered fellow again. I wonder if his mommy knows that he's lost with a stinking, messy diaper. Well, she'll find him pretty soon. She'll change his little diaper. She'll hug him. She'll give him a big kiss on his funny little nose, and she'll put him back in the playpen with the other little fellas. 520-333-4578. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, Bill.
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Yeah, about Guantanamo Bay, it was about two and a half years ago, I believe. I had the TV on, and they were talking about it, and I happened to look at the screen, and I saw they were releasing some Cuban detainees from Guantanamo Bay, and there was one of our Marines or military men in uniform using a device that I recognized to scan their wristbands. The Cubans were wearing these wristbands, and I had this confirmed by a Cuban gentleman I know.
Sure, that's how they keep track of prisoners. They do it in prisons, too.
It was the this little black wristband. It looked like a watch, but it was a hard plastic thing that they couldn't chew off or take off without a tool. And he was using the same exact device that the veterinarians used to scan and get the number off the wrist. Anyways, I want to ask you, the three servicemen that were just released, you said recently that they were peacekeepers working for the UN.
What, Neil?
You said that they were on the other side, that they weren't supposed to be on the other side of the border.
Yeah, these guys were not part of NATO. They were not assigned to NATO. They were not having nothing to do with NATO. They were in they were NATO. Excuse me, United Nations peacekeeping forces.
Well,
yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong, but don't United Nations peacekeeping forces usually wear the blue berets and the? How come these gentlemen were wearing U.S. Army fatigues with the U.S. Army emblem on them?
I don't know. You'll have to ask them.
I
don't know. I can tell you for a fact, absolute fact, and I can prove it, they were a part of a United Nations force.
Okay, so we have UN peacekeepers that do not wear the typical UN blue beret.
I don't know what they wear anymore. How do you know they weren't wearing the beret when they were captured? They weren't wearing any hats when I saw them.
Well, they were wearing U.S. Army fatigues with U.S. Army on. That's the simple point I wanted to make, is that uniforms that they had on were probably the ones that they were captured in, weren't they? I mean, they were U.S. Army.
It doesn't matter. They were part of a United Nations peacekeeping force. If you want to argue about that, you're going to lose the battle.
Oh, okay. But how do you know
if you want to make a point that they were and how do you know those United States uniforms?
I saw it on television.
No, you saw them in uniforms with a patch that said United States. How do you know the UN didn't issue those uniforms? Yes, they were, and one of them just recently in a press conference admitted that they crossed the border.
They did admit that?
Yeah, Stone, the man who was in charge of the detail, admitted that they crossed the border.
Oh, they finally admitted that. Well, it takes them a while, but they finally admit things.
No, the government has never admitted it. The man who was captured, the POW, his name is Stone, who was in charge of who was the sergeant in command. He said in a press conference that they had indeed crossed the border into Serbia.
Okay. One more thing about Y2K. One of the responses about Y2K was saying that the nuclear power plants might have trouble keeping the water running to keep the nuclear cool.
Do you really believe that?
I don't think so, no. I'm sure that they would have that.
Do you think those people? Do you think those people in those nuclear power plants want to die?
No.
So if they thought that, if they even thought there was a remote possibility, they'd already be shutting the plants down.
But these pumps that do have to keep the water running.
Excuse me. Do you think that the people who run those plants, who work there every day, want to die? This is not a mistake. They know what's going to happen. If they have even the remotest suspicion that anything's going to happen, they'll shut the plants down before it does. They would have already started. You're listening to the doomsayers, and you're believing their bullshit, and that's what it is. Bullshit. 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 Bullshit.
Okay, though, but when you shut a nuclear plant down and you take the rods out, you still have to keep water pumping through there. There's a nuclear plant up there.
Excuse me. Do you think the people in those plants want to die?
Okay, though, whatever.
You know, that's all you've got to ask yourself. They'll do whatever they need to do to make sure they don't die. Even if they don't care about the rest of the world, they'll do whatever they need to do to make sure they don't die. Nothing's going to happen at any nuclear power plant.
Well,
got that?
The people that put the pesticides in our food obviously don't care.
Excuse me. Do you think the people in those power plants want to die?
I'll let you go. Thanks. Bye.
Hey, folks, if you want to be a fool, do it somewhere else. It doesn't work here. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, Bill, a quick question, and I'll listen to your answer off the year.
Okay.
All we get out of NATO is lies and lies, and I think this war just stinks to high heaven.
Yes, it does.
And I cannot comprehend this weirdness we've had recently with the bombing of the Chinese embassy, and I'd just like to know what you think is going on.
I don't know. They don't tell me. I know what you know. I have no idea. They say it was an accident. I don't believe that. They have satellites up in space that can read your license plate. Are you telling me they never checked out their targets with these fantastic, unbelievable, multi-billion-dollar spy satellites they've got up there? I don't believe it. But that doesn't mean that that's true, because I know how the government operates. They may not have checked anything. That's all I can tell you. I really don't know. I'm in the dark just like the rest of you. I wasn't there when they launched the missiles or picked the target or anything else. So anything that I would say would have to be a guess. But I do know about those satellites. And if anybody had utilized any of those satellites to look at the target, they would have known that it was the Chinese embassy. Good evening. You're on the air.
Mr. Cooper, I've been away from the shortwave for a long time. And I'm just curious, do you have anything that you can share with me or the listeners as far as the HAARP project that's been going on for quite a number of years and what the purpose of it is? I mean, if it's on the internet, you know.
All I know is what you know. All I know is what the government says it's for. It's a top secret project.
Yeah, it just sounds, you know, I mean, I've been a student of Nikola Tesla, and I know what research he's been doing way back, or has been doing way back in the early 20s and 30s.
Did you read the government explanation for what HAARP is supposed to be?
It's supposed to be some sort of radio communications array, but it just does, you know, from what I've seen, it just doesn't make any sense as to what the purpose is of it.
Well, we can stand here and we can speculate till we turn blue in the face, but that's not what I do. I determine what truth is, and when I find that out, I tell you. But I don't, you know, very seldom will I ever speculate. And I'm not going to speculate on that because I don't know. All I know is what the government tells us that it is. It's a top secret project. If anybody outside of that project who does not have the proper security clearance tells you that they know what it's all about, they're lying to you. It's just a flat lie.
But I was just wondering if you had heard anything.
I just told you.
Okay. Thank you for your time. You know, and,
you're welcome.
it's just something just like makes the hair stand up on the back of my head when I read this. You know, I'm a technician from way back, and just something doesn't add up with this whole project that they're, you know, funding and, you know, that type of thing. You know, the purpose is like really not clear.
Well, I would agree with you on that, but for me to attempt to tell you what the purpose is, I would just be speculating, and I don't do that.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, I just wonder if you had any more information on what I've been able to dig up, and it seems like every time I try to dig, it's so.
No, it's a top secret project. You're not going to dig up anything. You're not going to find anything other than what the government chooses to tell you.
Man, probably too late. Well, I thank you for your time, sir.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling. 520-333-4578. Yeah, you see all these books about HAARP and all these things about HAARP. Those people don't know what they're talking about any more than I do when I'm talking about HAARP. It's a top secret government project. And unless you have access to that information in some way, as a part of the government, you don't know, and neither does anybody else. Good evening. You're on the air.
Bill, Nick from New York again. Just in response to
Nick, give some other people a chance to call. Thanks. 520-333-4578. Nick, you were on there for a long, long time. So, you know, when you're on there for a long time, don't call back. Gave you a long time, a whole bunch of minutes. 520-333-4578. Is the number. And we'll take one more call, and then I've got some stuff to tell you about. Number's 520-333-4578. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, hello?
Hello.
Yes, I'd like to share with you an experience I had, if I may.
What kind of experience?
A satellite sent a laser beam down that roasted my scrotum off.
Oh, another fool.
go back to the playpen with the other little children and make sure your mommy changes your diapers. Thank you very much. Got news for you, bud. You don't have a scrotum. You see, to have a scrotum, you have to be a human being. And to be a human being, you've got to have a brain. That's one of the great prerequisites of being a human being. Well, folks, over the years, many of you have called or written letters asking me about trust, about all kinds of different things that I don't have anything to do with, and I always referred you to Bob Swan. The program that Bob Swan can get you into is one of the best there is, but it costs $10,000 or you can't even talk about it. Just 1 year being in the program that Bob Swan could put you in will save you a lot more than $10,000, and over the next several years can save you tens of thousands or millions of dollars, depending upon how much money you make. But unfortunately, some of you guys are really thick-headed when it comes to understanding about money.
Oh, $10,000 is too much.
Well, I found you something else. And it's just as good, just as professional, but it doesn't cost as much. Now, if you don't have access to the internet, I can't help you with this. Listen to me carefully. If you do not have either your own personal computer where you can get on the internet, or know somebody that has a personal computer where you can get on the internet, I can't help you, so don't call me up and start asking me questions about it. You've got to have access to the internet, okay? I found these people. I set up a program for you where if you use a number that you can get from our website, you'll get a 10% discount off of all of their prices. So listen to me carefully. They can set you up in trusts or international business corporations. They can set you up with offshore banking. They can get you credit cards, debit cards. They can set you up with a merchant account so that you can accept credit cards from other people in payment for your services. All offshore, all anonymous, no identification, no way that it can be traced. Now, I'm telling you, if you get in these programs, you have to understand and obey the law that concerns them. But if you obey the law and you use them properly, you can save. Oh, I can't even tell you. I can't even begin to tell you how much money you can save every year and put back in your pocket and even make a lot of money. You can get an international driver's license. You can get a second citizenship with a second passport. Or you can get a new residence in a foreign country, become a citizen of that country, get a passport from that country, ID from that country, and go live in that country for the rest of your life and get out of this stinking cesspool. You can get anonymous mail drop services in many different countries. You can even purchase a bank charter and start your own bank. No kidding. That's no joke. It's absolutely perfectly legal. You can do it. Did you know that the wealthiest people of the world have most or all of their assets offshore? Did you know that assets held offshore allow you to have more privacy, pay little or no taxes, and increase your wealth more than any other method of asset protection that's available? Well, Harvest Trust, folks, has arranged for a 10% discount for all of you, all of our supporters, who are serious about taking themselves or their money offshore. It's the cheapest, best, and most professional source of trusts, offshore business corporations, and financial services. And I personally recommend these programs to those of you who may need them. Now, you've got to go through our website to get there. And on our website, you will find a number, an agent ID number. If you use that number, you get a 10% discount off their prices. If you don't use that number, you must pay the full price. Okay? Now listen to me carefully. Listen to me carefully. This is not for looky-loos. It's not for people who only have $200 to their name and wouldn't know how to make money offshore if somebody slapped them upside the head with the whole book of how to do it. These programs are for serious people that for personal reasons of their own need to take themselves and or their assets offshore. These are excellent programs. They cost money. Make no mistake about it. But they're more professional and much cheaper, much less expensive than almost all other sources. The personal, financial, tax, residency, banking, and privacy benefits derived from these programs, folks, are worth 100 times the first year, maybe even 1,000 times the cost of the programs. And if they're applied properly, if you apply them properly and within the law, these programs can save you tens of thousands or maybe even millions of dollars over the next few years. You can get second passports, driver's permits. There's a bank index where you can find a bank in any country. If you want to do, you know, your own thing, you can get credit cards, debit cards. You can found an offshore corporation. And I mean a real corporation. It's nothing phony. There's nothing fake about any of this. You can get several different types of trusts from several different types of countries that absolutely will protect your privacy. Merchant accounts, mail drop services, you can even purchase a bank charter and start your own bank. And here's an example of what they offer. This is the global, this is called the Ultimate Global Business Package. And this is what's in it. So listen carefully. This is one of the programs. This is not the one you have to get into. This is just one of them, but listen carefully. You can have a Panamanian offshore corporation, which if you purchased it by yourself would cost you $1,700. Remember that. Panama, ladies and gentlemen, is the very best choice when it comes to incorporating offshore. Issuance of bearer share certificates, no legal liability for nominee directors, and complete zero tax status enables you to conduct your business 100% confidential and anonymous. You get an offshore trust and an ID-free Visa card package. This costs regularly $2,400. Belize is one of the best choices when it comes to offshore trusts. Issuance of bearer share certificates. Non-disclosure of beneficiaries. You get a Visa credit card with no ID requirements and complete zero tax status. Enables you to conduct your business 100% confidential and anonymous. You get a Baltic multi-currency corporate bank account. Regularly costs $850. The Baltic state of Latvia is the best choice when it comes to safe and secure offshore banking. Being not as obvious, an offshore jurisdiction as maybe the Caribbean, foreign pressure and information sharing treaties are non-existent. It does not occur. Latvia has a stable economy and some of the best privacy laws in the world. The state police cannot even look at your bank account. You also get a free offshore credit card merchant account. Once you have the corporate bank account, you can apply for a free credit card merchant account. And if you qualify, and 99% of all of the clients do, you will be able to accept your client's credit card payments offshore. Most providers are charging anywhere between $1,000 to $10,000 for an offshore merchant account. Here it's free. You get a free client banking software package. And this enables you to send orders to and retrieve your bank statements from the Latvian bank over the internet 24 hours a day. And all communications are fully encrypted with PGP before they're sent over the net. You also get a free offshore debit card, which regularly costs $475. You can withdraw your offshore funds from anywhere in the world where you see the Maestro or Cirrus sign. Whether it's at one of 2.5 million points of sale terminals or ATMs or just walking a bank. That's quite a list of benefits, folks. And if you want to take advantage of this special offer, it can be yours for only $3,299. And if you added up those prices I gave you, you'll see that that's pretty close to half price.
If you were to purchase all these things separately, you'd pay about twice as much money. So, that's just so that you can hear an example of just one of the programs. Okay? So, if you want to take advantage of this, or if you just want to go to the website and check it out, go to our website, harvest-trust.org. That's harvest-trust.org. Once again, harvest-trust.org. Okay, folks? Now, don't call me and start asking me questions. If you can't get on the internet, you can't do this. Okay? Maybe later on we can arrange something else. But right now, you have to have internet access. That's the only way that this can be conducted. Well, I think, folks, that we've hit the end of the line here. So, I want to wish you all good night, and God bless each and every single one of you. You're listening to 101.1 FM Eager.
My, 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 my. Isn't that them rhythm train, boss? Boy, I bet all them hobos are all set under them rods. Evo Lee number one and all them cats. Yeah, man. All aboard?
And all being members of the bar and operating under a different constitution and bylaws, far distant from the depositories of the public records, has promulgated, lobbied for, passed, adjudicated, and ordered the implementation and execution of their purported uniform and model acts and pretended statutory provisions to help implement international treaties of the United States are where world uniformity would be desirable. See the 1990 and 1991 reference book, National Council of Commissioners on Uniform State Laws, page 2. This is apparently what Robert Bork meant when he wrote, quote, "We are governed not by law or elected representatives, but by an unelected, unrepresentative, unaccountable committee of lawyers applying no will but their own," unquote. All, ladies and gentlemen, Freemasons. See The Tempting of America by Robert H. Bork, page 130. This association has been engaged in activities such as turning marriage licenses into international private law through its international liaisons, which meet at such places as the Hague Conferences. See the Handbook of Commissioners on Uniform State Laws, 1966 edition, pages 156 and 157. On April 25, 1938, the Supreme Court overturned this standing precedent of the prior 150 years concerning common law in the federal government and said this, quote, "There is no federal common law, and Congress has no power to declare substantive rules of common law applicable in a state, whether they be local or general in their nature, be they commercial law or a part of the law of torts."